have traded Myles Garrett to the Rams if Jared Verse wasn't included in that deal. Now, the Patriots are introducing their newest wide receiver, A.J. Brown, as he spoke with the media today after being traded by the Philadelphia Eagles. Brown also spoke with Maria Taylor on the 7 p.m. in Brooklyn podcast and talked about his relationship with now former quarterback Jalen Hurts.
How would you describe your relationship right now?
Not as close as we once were. I believe that's fine. It's like there's no bad blood. There's actually still a lot of love. I love him. I love him to death. I want him to succeed and accomplish all the things that he wants to accomplish.
The Seahawks and defensive end Derek Hall have agreed to terms on a three-year, $42 million extension. Game one of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. Vegas is at Carolina at 8 o'clock Eastern.
Fox Sports update on the Right Choice KPRL brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, as summer arrives, the abundance of U.S.-grown produce makes it a perfect time to enjoy fruit pies and other desserts that highlight their flavor profiles. AgriMarketing.com reports in 2024, the U.S. grew $6.9 billion worth of seven popular fruits, vegetables, and tree nuts, often used as the main ingredient in pie making. Topping the list, the U.S. apple crop exceeded $2.9 billion in 2024, whereas production of blueberries approached $1.2 billion. And Bayer subsidiary Monsanto is disputing claims that a proposed $7.25 billion class action settlement of Roundup litigation is unconstitutional. AgriPulse reports lawyers for plaintiffs suing Monsanto over claims that Roundup exposure caused their non-Hodgkin lymphoma have objected to the proposed settlement. Bayer released a statement saying it remains confident that the long-term and well-financed proposed class settlement plan is fair to all claimants and warrants approval by the courts. And Central America will continue to be a growing market for exports of U.S. pork and beef due to, in large part, the Dominican Republic Central American Free Trade Agreement. That was the message from Ricardo Zuniga, founding partner of Dominica Americas, who spoke at the U.S. Meat Export Federation Spring Conference. But Zuniga cautioned that a number of factors could limit the region's growing demand for U.S. pork and beef.
Torrington Livestock Torrington, Wyoming will have a pair and bred cow special this Wednesday, June 3rd. Lots of quality females coming, selling only due to drought conditions. Consignments include Frontier Land Company's complete dispersion of 210 cow-calf pairs, 3 to 5 years old. And here's the Wordeman Brothers' complete dispersion of 60 pairs, mixed age. Check out all the listings at torringtonlivestock.com. And remember, you can view, sale, and bid online via Cattle USA.
For the last 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been the source of news for farmers and ranchers. Yet we have never seen such an assault on farming and our food supply as we do today. From fuel to fertilizer, farmers are facing unprecedented economic challenges. This is why agriculture news that farmers receive comes from the Ag Information Network, reaching coast to coast. Deep roots in farming and decades of reporting, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism for generations.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Another tug-of-war day for markets, the major indexes being supported by tech. Marvell Technology is rallying 28%. That's after NVIDIA CEO said the chipmaker could become the next trillion-dollar company. Dollar General shares are losing ground, even though the discount retailer raised its forecast for the year after an upbeat quarter and higher sales boosted by shoppers looking for bargains. Target now seeing success in its turnaround plan, wasting no time revealing its competing sale to Amazon Prime Day, running June 23rd through the 26th. Target promising deep new savings and early access for members of its paid membership. And shares of Shake Shack are losing sizzle after the burger chain lowered its expectations for second quarter revenue, citing growing competition and economic uncertainty. That is your Fox Business Report. I'm Angelo Bavaro, invested in you.
You're probably listening to this in your car, so let me ask you, would you drive without insurance? Of course not. So why is your retirement portfolio unprotected? Gold is portfolio insurance. It helps de-risk your savings when markets get unpredictable. Noble Gold Investments has helped thousands of Americans do exactly that, with no high-pressure sales and thousands of five-star reviews. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Time to write your congressman again. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
8 Democratic congressmen and 54 Republicans have joined together in introducing a welfare reform program that could save the taxpayers almost $2 billion. It will, if passed, probably save more. I learned in our own welfare reforms in California that our real savings were far greater than our estimates. Even more important, these reforms will also benefit the truly needy who must have our help. In California, in addition to saving the taxpayers $1 billion, we were able to increase the grants to the needy by an average of 43%. When we reformed welfare in California and halted an increase in caseload that was adding 40,000 people a month to the rolls, we did so by changes in state regulations and administrative rules. We could not, however, change the multitudinous federal regulations imposed on us by the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare in Washington. With reform, those regulations offer an even greater potential savings. The plan being offered to Congress is, in effect, an extension of the California plan, but involving those federal regulations. One major change would require able-bodied mothers on the Aid for Dependent Children program to work in return for their welfare grants at public or community work projects half-time, 80 hours a month. As one congressman put it, they get something, they give something. Now, there'll be terrific opposition to this. Charges of slave labor and that welfare mothers should be in the home with their children. Well, let me answer that latter charge first. 40% of the American mothers of children under 18 years of age are working. And one-third of these have children under the age of 6. As for public work projects being slave labor, we were allowed to conduct an experiment in 35 California counties where able-bodied welfare recipients had to report for such work. In 1 year, we funneled 57,000 people from welfare through these work projects into private enterprise jobs. In 1969, the House Ways and Means Committee did a study in 11 cities and came to the conclusion that an increasing number of welfare recipients were people who had been induced by social workers to quit jobs and opt for welfare instead. It's time for welfare reform at the national level, and reform is not a new idea. In 1935, Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed the Social Security Act and announced, "We can now see the end of public assistance in America." Well, in 1962, John Fitzgerald Kennedy signed a welfare reform bill which he said would cost more to start with, but which would eventually reduce the rolls by training people for useful work by stressing, quote, self-support and simplifying welfare administration, unquote. In 1964, Lyndon Baines Johnson signed the Economic Opportunity Act, the poverty program, and said, quote, the days of the dole in our country are numbered, unquote. In the meantime, an executive in health, education, and welfare was telling the professionals in the department to think big and to plan big, and they did. While three presidents were making statements they believed were true, and our national population was increasing 11%, aid to dependent children increased 216%, and the overall welfare caseload more than doubled and its cost quadrupled. Now is the time to write your congressman in support of welfare reform. I'll tell you some more about welfare tomorrow. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Balance. Fisher. Right. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday, it's 1230. The Bears are in the building, and it's time for Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. And the current event of the day is the June 2nd primary election. And I'm having a special. I'm so pleased to have Eric Gorham and Kenny Enney in studio co-hosting the show with me. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you doing, Barry?
Great. Doing well, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. We also have some great guests calling in throughout the show. First will be Randall Jordan calling in a few minutes, and he's the chairman of RP Slow. We're going to talk to him about what his predictions are and what to expect in the general election. Then at 1:10, Adam Verdin, the District 4 Board of Supervisors race, a Republican candidate. He's calling in. Darcia Stebbins at 1:20 is going to give us a report from the polling stations and other election integrity matters. And at 1:30, we hope to have Michael Aaron Woody, the District 2 Board of Supervisors candidate, independent. And we want you to note that we did invite District 2 Supervisor candidate Jim Tantona, Democrat, and District 4 candidate Jimmy Paulding, Republican, for equal time purposes, and we never heard back from him, right?
Yeah, I got no reply.
It was crickets, huh?
Crickets.
From those guys. All right.
Well, so, no, I think Jimmy, I got one of those automated things that said, we'll get back to you in 3 days.
He's out of the office until after the election.
Right.
Huh? Okay, great. Anyway, enough of that editorializing, okay? Folks, you can call in or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So let's take a look. What are you thinking as far as what's happening down in District 4 right now as far as you're seeing,
District
Eric?
4 has been interesting because you've seen, and I've talked to a few people that have done interviews with Jimmy, and they say he sounds deflated. So I don't know if he has polling. I haven't personally seen any polling in that district, but I've gotten some rumors that Jimmy's been a little deflated the last week. So I don't know if he pulled some polls and he's not doing well. I know Adam's been hitting it hard. And I think for Jimmy, he's been his own worst nightmare. He's his own actions have caused him to slip down in the polls, if I were to guess. I think there's been a lot of just bad press on him, mostly because of his own doing, though. And then Adams is kind of over there chugging along. So it'll be interesting to see if Adam can pull it out over an incumbent. That's never an easy task.
Right. What about you? Are you tracking on that race at all, Kenny?
Yeah, a little bit. I kind of, my attitude for pretty much all the races here in California right now is it's the Republicans to lose, regardless of what office. Because just looking at Jimmy Paulding, you know, the one thing he's running on, which was the fire station, and it's turning out that it really wasn't something that he did. Right. So there's not much of a record that the Democrats can run on, is my philosophy. So I think if the Republicans can motivate their base to show up, and you can, and it's not just the Republican base, but it's the independents as well.
And Jimmy,
I think they can do quite well.
Mm.
Jimmy got caught in quite a few lies this year. I mean, even, you know, what he did to Lynn, and now there's probably going to be a lawsuit about it, and it looks like he was doing it. Well,
right.
I actually have a little proof that he was doing it down south, this going around the houses and, you know, lying about who he is, what he represents. He says he's the, you know, he goes to the door and says, oh, I'm your conservative candidate.
Right.
Will you put, I personally got 8 signs taken down. That they thought he was the conservative.
Well, he had some issues with, of course, with some of the election,
FPPC.
FPPC, right?
And that's still kind of going on, and that literally probably caused Lynn to lose it a few years ago.
Really? Really?
And, you know, I don't know. She has a point where it's coming up quick. If she wants to sue, she could.
So Kenny, I mean, from your perch at the Paso Robles School Board, does the makeup of the... Board of Supervisors impact you much?
Not really.
Not really.
Probably if there's one county office that would affect us or impact us, that's going to be the county superintendent of schools.
Oh, thanks for calling Protecting What Matters. What's your question?
Hi, Barry. It's Randall.
Oh, it's Randall. I guess you called it on the call. And okay, you called it on the guest line. Not on the guest line, but that's good. Randall, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us, we were just talking about the two supervisor races here in the county. I know your RP Slow is more involved in the District 4 race down in the Napomo area. What's your take on what's going on, and what are you thinking about as far as turnout and how's it looking?
Actually, it's looking very, very well. I think Adam, like Kenny was saying, Adam's basically a Republican that's got this race to lose, but he's not going to lose. He's going to win big.
You mean Adam?
Adam Verdin. I'm sorry, Adam Verdin. Yeah, he's going to.
Don't scare us. Don't scare us, please.
No. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
No. We basically had some folks over the weekend that were down in Napomo showing flags over the freeway, and they were getting a lot of great feedback, a lot of honks and waves, and people really, really enthused over Adam. And then we also had a couple of our volunteers from the North County headquarters down on Oak Park and Grand Avenue, and they had a table set up there, and they were signing people up for registration and actually pushing Adam's candidacy, and they said it was all positive, that everyone that came up was so happy and so excited to be voting for Adam. So I think it's going to be a great a turnout, and I think we're gonna win that seat.
Are you getting any numbers on the mail-in ballots so far? I saw an article in the Cal Coast News and it seemed pretty light. So far, that was a couple of days ago. Are you getting any word from what's going on there?
Well, you know, I was just telling my wife Mary a few minutes ago. I left the headquarters here in North County about half an hour ago, and we had a steady stream of people bringing in their ballots to drop them off there. I do know that it's been a little bit. It started out pretty robust, and then it tapered off a little bit. But I think today we're going to see a lot of people go to the polls, and I think the mail-in ballots are going to be huge. I know that we're topping at least close to 1,000 or at 1,000 at our headquarters in North County alone. And our South County headquarters, we're over 1,100 down there.
That's pretty good. That's probably pretty good. What do you think, Gary?
I saw some numbers today, and actually, oddly enough, District 5, Atascadero, where our headquarters is lagging so far behind in the vote right now, like more than half. Every other district has at least 10 to 11,000 votes already at the recorder's office. We're at like 4,000.
Really? Well, there's nothing to vote for in their opinion,
yeah,
right?
Maybe.
other than governor and things like that.
Or they're all going to vote today.
Yeah, they're all going to vote today. Hopefully that's the case.
We're working hard at the headquarters. Mark and Cheryl are working hard there. We've got people making phone calls today to get the vote out. We've had a couple of text messages go out last week. We got another one, a couple going out today. So, your party is working really, really hard to get the vote out in this county.
That's great. We were talking last week, you know, when we were doing our show prep, and, you know, there's something that Kenny was kind of focused on was, you know, Latino outreach, you know, outreach to the Latino community. Is RP Slow very active in that aspect of things? And if so, what are you guys doing?
Well, we're getting better. We're getting better. We basically have a few members of our volunteer staff that are Latinos, and they have been outreaching, and we've been seeing more of the families coming in. We need to do a lot better, and we're hopefully going to be reaching out even more for the general election in November. But you know, it's starting to come around, and we're starting to make a presence in that community.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Kenny? Because I know it was something you were pretty passionate about.
Yeah, my feeling's always been that when you look at the Latino culture in general, it's socially much more conservative than the Anglo culture. Mm-hmm. Very family oriented, very very much faith based, and it really kind of astounds me in the state of California that the Latino community votes for all the craziness on the left. Mm. When you start seeing nationwide the shift from the Latino support for the Democrat Party, away from the Democrat Party, it's shifting substantially in Texas and also in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think, you know, having spent a lot of time in Latin America, having lived in Miami, you know, there's a cultural difference between each of the Latino groups. You know, Cubanos are probably more conservative than Nicaraguans in the Miami area, and I always felt, well, probably, you know, the Mexican community is maybe not as politically conservative, but you're starting to see in Texas that shift as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's something that in this state really needs to be a focus of main effort in many ways.
What were the numbers in the last election, Randall? I mean, Trump did pretty well in the last, you know, cycle with it Latinos. How did he do in the county?
We were still pretty low. I think that we were in the 20 or 25% bracket. But overall vote, get out the vote. We've been going up and up and up, so it is growing, like Kenny was saying, and we are starting to win over the hearts and minds of the Latino community. But we need to do more. We need to reach out more, and like I say, we do have some volunteers that are very, very passionate about bringing the Latinos in. And you know, so I think we're going to see a shift even more before the general election.
So, if I'm not mistaken, Randall, the last few elections, there's been outreach on Latin radio and even magazine ads.
Yes, yeah,
yeah. There's...
You're right on that. Yeah, we have tried to cover the conservative and the Latin American community in the last couple of elections, and we did target again this election.
There is a conservative radio. I think it's I can't think of it off the top of my head. Not that I'm advertising competition for Kevin or anything. But, I think it's a faith-based Latino radio station. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the call numbers off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing
there's actually a couple of them. There's El Fuego, which is the younger market, and then you're right, Kenny. I can't remember the name of it, but we've always tried to reach out to the more of the faith-based. Yeah. And the family oriented,
but even on the, you know, even just moving away from the social and cultural conservativeness, a lot of entrepreneurs in the Latino community. You know, there are a lot of people in the Latino community that are increasingly interested in school choice,
mm-hmm.
because they're the ones that are suffering through the failing public school system. So.
Exactly.
I think there's a lot of common ground to tap into.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. So I'm sure you guys at RP Slow are starting to look ahead to the general election. What do you consider to be the big issues that you're going to be focused on, Randall, and candidates? And I guess we'll know more about the candidates after, well, maybe a month, I suppose. But
California's not too good about reporting. I mean, we'll get a glimpse tonight.
Yeah.
That can be, we've seen what's happened like in Orange County, and that can be flipped, you know, 3 weeks or 4 weeks down the road.
Maybe so. By July 4th, we'll have maybe, some final maybe numbers.
July 4th.
Yeah.
What we've got coming on the ballot in November is basically the voter ID, and that we really need to push. We need to get, you know, we're pushing. Last election for Prop 50, we were up around 64-65% turnout, which is unheard of. Basically, for a special election or a midterm election, something like that. So we're pushing for this election because Bob Smith said that if we get him 85% turnout, he's going to win. So we're pushing for 85%, and we need to have the same kind of turnout for the general. We've got to get voter ID passed.
24th. Oh, okay. Well, good. That would certainly be a sea change here. Of course, it'll probably get bogged down in the courts, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. It's going to get challenged, but at least we need to have the will of the people out there so that they know what we really want, which is voter ID and getting back to the basics on casting your ballot.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a move even this election that our registrar is pushing us towards the vote centers, which we do not want our county to become a vote center county. We do not want that. But she's actually implementing some vote center requirements policies that we don't need in this county, and we're seeing them pushing that way.
What do you think of the? I know this will personally impact you. The billionaires tax. What do you think of that? How is that? How are we going to fight that? I mean,
we have to fight that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically just an open door policy to tax everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you're a middle income family and you own your own home and you've owned it for a while, you've easily probably got a nest egg worth at least $1 million. And mm-hmm. what's the big jump to go from, you know, the billionaires to the millionaires? I mean, we're all probably millionaires in our own right. I mean,
well, you own a house, yes.
If you own a house, you're, right. You and have any kind of equity in it, then you are. So, it's a slippery slope, and we need to stop that. We need to make that go away, because that's not something good that our government is telling us, you know, how much money we can make and how successful we can be.
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. I mean, there's going to be so many that and so many other things that are coming up in the general election. But, you know, we're coming up on the break here in about 30 seconds. So I just want to thank you for calling in and taking time out of your busy day. And I think I'm speaking for everybody here in the studio that, you know, we really appreciate all the time and effort that you and Mary spend, you know, helping the Republican Party here in the county and the state.
Well, Barry, it's a labor of love. I mean, we love our county so much, and we just want to give back. And you know, the Republican ethics and the Republican way of life with faith, freedom, and family. I mean, that is what we believe in, and that's what we're going to fight for.
So, do you have a final message for the listeners before you head off to your next appointment?
Well, basically, if you're contemplating not voting today, if it's too much trouble, you can't get a ride, you can't get your ballot turned in time, call the headquarters. Look under RPSLOC.org, and look up the phone number for either of the two headquarters and call them and say, I need help. We will send somebody to pick up your ballot. We'll send somebody to help you go vote. We'll do whatever we need to do. This is such an important election. They're all important, but if we can get that total number of the get out to vote and get the Republicans out to vote, we will win these races. And Kenny's right. We'll win.
All right. Thank you so much, Randall.
Thank you,
we'll see you soon. Take care.
Thank you, Barry. Bye.
I hear the bumper music, so when we return, we're going to talk about the wild and crazy mayoral race in Los Angeles. That should be good for a few minutes of laughs. So stand by.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. I'm here with co-hosts Kenny Enney and Eric Gorham. You can call or text with questions, 805-238-5775-238-KPRL. So let's talk about what everybody's talking about in the United States. Hopefully they're paying attention in my hometown of Los Angeles. Eric, what do you think of the whole Spencer Pratt effort to, I'm looking at the poll, latest polls, but I want to hear get your both your guys' takes before we talk about that.
It's pretty interesting. I mean, I like the charismatic approach. He's been jovial about it, and I think he's just kind of trying to capture the anger of the community, because after last year with the fires, et cetera, and really a government that hasn't done anything for its own people over in L.A. County, it's pretty ridiculous. So I think if he can seize on that, it's pretty good. I don't know. I've been watching the polls, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think the last ones I saw, I thought he was down a little bit.
But. Yeah. I mean, I think it depends. I'm looking at him right now here. I mean, most of them are pretty liberal polls, right. And he is down. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if it's the kind of thing where people aren't admitting that they'll vote for Spencer Pratt I don't know what the internals on.
Yeah. Kind of like when Trump ran in 2016, didn't have a chance and all of a sudden right. pulled it out. I don't know if that's the case. I think that, you never know. I mean, I think for L.A., really, they have to hit rock bottom. So are they there? I don't know. I mean, yeah. I know there's some angry people. But a lot of those people are on probably the wealthier side that lost their mm-hmm. houses because those were more wealthy areas. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's enough because the inner cities seem to vote Democrat regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the problem. So, Kenny, I mean, I see a lot of similarities between you and Spencer Pratt. you have that charismatic thing going on and you stick to the issues. You're kind of the stick to the issues crowd.
That means I can only do one thing at a time. Okay. I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I thought I saw over the weekend that he was at 35 and mm-hmm. Karen Bass was at 33. I thought he was slightly ahead the weekend.
The one poll that I'm looking at here that I just got this morning, the McLaughlin and Associates, which is probably a more, middle of the road type poll than Berkeley or the LA Times or something like that. He's at 30.
Okay.
But most everywhere else, he's at 22. UCL, well, again, some of the more recent polls. Yeah, those are the LA Times poll has him at 22, which was just done. That was recent. But McLaughlin is the most recent, actually. I'm looking at this. It's 526 to 528. So that's the most recent poll. So, yeah, he looks like he's getting some traction if this is accurate.
Well, what I enjoy about it and what I. The change that I think he's making is it's pretty much everything is on the internet.
Right.
It's all social media. He's doing, I really enjoy the little AI generated commercials he does mm-hmm. where he's Superman or Batman or whatever. And and Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass are the Joker and the Riddler. I mean, it's very clever. It's appealing to, I think, people that traditionally aren't involved in politics.
Right.
It's none of the boring numbers or anything like that. It's just, you know, it's showing pictures of the homeless people, you know, defecating in the streets and burned down houses. And that visual is very hard to defend.
Well, it's,
if you're a traditional Democrat, I think part of that strategy that Spencer Pratt's doing is maybe not convert as many Democrats to my side, but just demoralize them enough so they don't go out and vote.
Well, it's interesting because I heard that a lot of those AI-generated commercials are being done by volunteers. And they just send them out to, you know, they've got all these social media channels, and they're just creating them and sending them out, and they're really creating a lot of buzz. And then, of course, last week he was on all the national news.
Right.
You know, so he's taking something out of Steve Hilton's playbook, I guess. So do you think, Eric, I mean, you're the most political guy. You know, you've been involved in politics here for a long time. I mean, do you see a candidate in this county that could really, you know, take off like yourself and do an insurgency type campaign like this?
I think that's what we're going to start seeing here pretty quickly. I think we're at the, you know, I think Spencer Pratt's one of those people that's kind of right at the beginning of that. Mm-hmm. He's kind of laying the groundwork. Now, is that going to be strictly a Republican thing? I kind of doubt it. But I think that's the way. If you can build these channels, especially as an incumbent, because the longer you're in it, the more people are following you.
Right.
You can really, you know, and I think what you'll see is if you look a few years ago, with District 1, you saw a race that ended before it began, and I think there's the political minds here that can do that, you know.
All right. Thanks for calling Protecting What Matters. What's your question or comment?
Yes. I don't know if you spoke about this already. What about those bags of ballots that were burned? You think that's true in L.A.?
The incendiary devices that were tossed into the ballot boxes. I suspect it's true. I don't know where it is, and that was probably the biggest question in my mind. Is it in a predominantly moderate to right leaning district, or is it in a left wing? Who knows? But it sounds like I think there were two of them that were somebody tossed incendiaries into the ballot boxes. I'd be curious how they figure out whose ballots were in there.
I was going to touch on this a little later when we were talking to Darcia, but let me just mention this. There was an article here. It was the California Globe. And by the way, Megan Barth from the California Globe will be my guest next week to do a post-election analysis. But apparently Judicial Watch has found in California that they have 873,000 ghost voters.
No, I can't believe that.
And apparently there's all kinds of lawsuits. I don't think our clerk recorder in this county gets any merit badges for how she handles her office. What do you think, Eric?
No, I think at best you can look at incompetence.
Yeah.
And that's what I would like to chalk it up to. I know other people think differently, but we've seen incompetence since day one. We've seen mistake after mistake. I mean, she advertised. And the mailer they sent out for her own election. I mean, if that's not just, I mean, the ethics of what's happened over there are not high. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. So thanks.
Too late?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Too late to check to see online if my vote, if it's got counted or.
Yeah, you can go on the website. I'm not sure what it is. I can look it up during the break.
Yeah, we'll try to look it up.
Okay.
Darcia knows.
Yeah, Darcia.
Thank you so much.
Have a nice day.
Yeah,
bye.
Thank you. Folks, we'll be back on the other side of the break with an all-star lineup of guests and more great talk from my co-hosts, Eric and Kenny. So stand by.
next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton. It's